Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 3 says, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Now turn over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, starting in verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Verse 6 again said, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So the title of my message this morning is Tongues of Fire. I want us to see that this tongue, our literal tongue that we utter, that we speak things, that it is a very small but very powerful part of the body. The only way that this tongue can be brought under control is to be bridled by the Holy Spirit. It's the only way it can be used for good. It's the only way it can speak life. It's the only way that all of the ugliness of the heart will not find its way out to destroy other people around us. It's the only way that the new heart that is given to us by God, the only way that it can speak that life is that the Holy Spirit would be active, present and active in our lives. You see, with the tongue, we can either curse or we can bless. We know this well. You've had it done to you. You've done it to others. We can speak life and build up one another, or we can bring death and cursing. We can cause so much damage with the tongue, whether it's gossip or slander, backbiting, just foolish talk. Scripture talks about coarse jesting, all these different things, lying, blasphemies, filthy language. Let the Lord convict you this morning, because he's going to bring life. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. He's going to bring life. We've all been guilty of it in various ways. Even if we don't speak it, to think it in our heart and to believe it. We might not speak audibly the words, but in our hearts we are criticizing, we are tearing somebody down with hate and bitterness in us. We're jealous of them. All of these things are what lead to the outflow, the outward, the speaking of the tongue. Colossians 3, 8 through 11 says, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, and do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created us, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." If you have been born again today, you are to put off the old man. It's all of these actions, all of these sins, all of these old ways of our life, these old ways of living, but it's also in how you speak. Will you speak life or are you going to speak death? Are you going to build up your brother or are you going to tear him down? Are you going to act in jealousy and bitterness and wrath and hate? Or is the love of God going to permeate your life and cause life to come out of you? Cause life to come out of this mouth. Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the believers." Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Do we think about what we're speaking? Are we prayerful? I'm not saying do you stop and say a prayer every time you're going to have a conversation with someone, but do you live a prayerful life, a life where you walk with God in such a way that you are hearing from him, that you are speaking to him, that you are discussing things, like walking through life with a friend where you just have ongoing conversation? Is your mind and your heart, is it turned towards God, and are you hearing from him? Are you receiving from him? If you've been born again, you've been given that new, we're putting on Christ. As we are filled with Christ, as he grows within us, as he leads us, as we mature, as we walk with him, and we get the deeper walk with the Lord, as we know him more, we should be becoming more and more like him, speaking more and more like him, the life of God coming out of us more and more. But too often we find ourselves following the flesh. I'm stirred about something because so-and-so irritated me, or I'm jealous of this, or I heard this about so-and-so, so I'm going to say this about them. Wrath of man, does it ever profit us anything? When we act in such a way where we're just completely given to the flesh, and I've been guilty of it so many times in my own life. Ask my sons. But the life of God in us, the life of Christ in us, ought to be such that it's affecting the heart in such a way that what comes up and out is only the life of Christ. That it's only the life of God, the power of God. Ephesians 5:3-4 talks about foolish talking and coarse jesting. There's so many scriptures that are that we can find in scripture that talk about the mouth, the words that come out of us, how we use the tongue. It is a powerful, powerful weapon. It is a powerful part of the body that, again, it can build up or it can tear down. We become so focused on ourselves and protecting ourselves and looking out for ourselves that we begin to cut others down. So often, how many times have you seen it or heard it? Maybe you've been guilty of it where it's like, I don't feel so good about me, so I'm going to tear you down in the process. If I can tear you down, then I can feel better about myself. Rather, we should be lifting others up, preferring our brothers and our sisters, encouraging them. You know, Scripture tells us that we weep with those who weep, we mourn with those who mourn, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. Do you ever find it hard to rejoice with somebody that's been blessed? Maybe your enemy has been blessed and you're finding it difficult to be happy for them. You're jealous, you're angry. All you can do is think evil to tear them down or speak evil to tear them down. And when I say enemy, I'm not talking about somebody in the world. Let's just be honest. In the church, we have people we don't like so much. Let's just be honest. It happens. But the love of God compels us to prefer them, to love them, to pray for them, to pray with them, to encourage them, to come alongside them, to put ourselves down, not in some false humility way, but to put ourselves, pull ourselves back and give them preference, to love them. But we have these jealousies within us. We have these irritations, and we pursue this, and we follow this, and we become angry with them. Or gossip. Come on. How many of us have been guilty of gossip? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I want you to think about this. Have you been gossiped about? It hurts. Right? It's painful. Think about gossip and slander, these things that get spoken. When you gossip about somebody, you put them, and they hear this, so you start to talk bad about them or slander them, you're backing them into a corner of fear. Have you been there where somebody's torn you down and you feel suddenly very exposed? Very fearful. They're watching me. They're watching my every move. They're scrutinizing everything. I'm not perfect. I know I've sinned. I know I've done things wrong. And now they're watching me and they're picking me apart. Who rules with fear? It's not God. God is love. His perfect love casts out fear. It's our enemy, the devil, Satan. He rules with fear. He's the one who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's that roar that strikes fear into the predator or into the prey. When we use this tongue to tear down, to talk down, to gossip, to slander, to backbite, to lie, We are pushing our brothers, our sisters into a fear, a corner of fear, a place of fear where they feel like now they have to protect themselves. We are actually undermining and working against the very thing God wants from us. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. He wants us to know that he loves us and that his perfect love casts out fear, and yet we become guilty of working against that very thing. We take up sides with the devil. You know, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, right? When we become that person who is accusing and pointing fingers all the time and judging, we're taking the side of the accuser of the brethren. You think it's not possible? I'm born again. It's not possible. It is possible. Jesus told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the kingdom. You're not mindful of what I intend, what needs to be done. You're not mindful of the love of God. Amen. What you're mindful of is yourself. What you're mindful of is what you want." Now, let me tell you, I've heard this said before. I think it's very true. Hurt people hurt people. Right. It happens, and it just perpetuates. It just keeps going and going and going. It gets worse, and it's like this big snowball. And I'm telling you, it can tear a church apart in a hurry. You have to be willing to forgive. You have to be willing. Your brother, your sister, they're going to sin against you at some point. We don't have to, but it's going to happen. We're human. We're frail. We're weak. We sin at times. Just know it's going to happen and be ready to forgive. But on the flip side of it, be careful about your words. Be careful about what your thoughts are that you're spending your time thinking about. If you've got something in you against a brother or a sister, you need to go and confess to them. If you're having some bad thoughts about somebody and you're not, at the very least, go talk to your pastor. A spiritually mature brother or sister in life that you can confess, "I'm thinking these things, I have this bad attitude." Because I'm telling you, if you let it just stay and you just keep on pondering it, and you just keep on living in that, you keep thinking about it and playing with that thing, it grows and it grows. And before you know it, bitterness has taken root, hatred has sprouted leaves, and now you're guilty of murder. Jesus said that if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. These things have to be confronted. They have to be dealt with. But instead, too often, we have this thought and we hold it and we pet it and we coddle it and we feed it. And then before you know it, that evil that's in your heart is coming out of your mouth. And we're tearing people apart. We're cutting people down. We're destroying lives. These promises, 2 Timothy 1:7, is I quoted already, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And the other one is in 1 John 4, that God is love and that his perfect love casts out fear. These are promises from God. These are truths from God. And we undermine them. Think of it. Children of God undermining the very promises of God, the very truths of God. We can be guilty of shaking the faith of our brothers and our sisters. You know, when we gossip, whether it's true or not, that person who's being gossiped about, their reputation's being ruined. You ever heard of character assassination? You know, now in our woke culture, it's all about cancel culture. We're going to just negate you and cut you out. When we gossip about people, it's worse than just cutting them out. You're assassinating their very character, their reputation. We're told to cover one another with love. Love covers a multitude of sin. This is not a matter of trying to hide wanton, willful sin that's in the church. That has to be dealt with. But have you ever committed a sin? I have. I don't want the first thing my brother or sister to do to be splashing it up on Facebook and running around telling everybody about it. I would want them to come to me. Pray with me. Tell me, brother, I see this. What's going on? But instead, here's what we like to do. Hey, I'm going to tell you this so you can pray for them. We like take our gossip and we cloak it in holiness. Be careful. Examine your heart. Do you really need to say that thing to that person? Especially when you're not even willing to go and talk with them? The Bible tells us that if we have something against our brother, to go to them. Or if we know that our brother has something against us, to go to them. It's always on me. It's always on us to take that step, to be willing to be used, to be willing to put ourselves down, to humble ourselves. Whether they do or not, that's between them and God. But I know what I can do. I know what I ought to do. That is to hear from God and to go to my brother. Hey, you said this. It's not good. I saw this. You did this to me. Or I know that I did this to you. Please forgive me. But instead we talk. We backbite. We cut each other down. We're being used by Satan to destroy our brothers and sisters. We're instilling fear into our brothers and sisters. God wants us to be free of fear, and we're taking them and we're forcing them to live in fear. We're supposed to take a cloak and cover them with love, and instead we're stripping them naked in front of everybody. We're forcing them to be put out in the cold, bare, in front of everybody. Now don't get me wrong, I know God wants us to willingly humble ourselves, and there's an analogy to that, but I'm talking about a brother, a sister that is hurt and needs love and needs guidance, and instead of coming alongside them, we're just ripping them bare and we're exposing them to the elements. We're exposing them to shame. It hurts terribly to be slandered and gossiped about, especially when it comes from somebody you love and you respect, whether it's a close family member or somebody you look up to, a mentor, somebody who's been important in your life. Psalm 55, 12 through 14 says, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it, nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng." We're to be those equals in the Lord. I'm not talking about church structure, leadership. I'm just saying brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to take sweet counsel. He is our sweet counsel. We come together. We fellowship with one another. And then the minute our apple cart gets upset, we turn around and hit him. We turn around and stab him in the back. We start talking about him and tearing him down. It shouldn't be this way. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can't believe it's been 2 years already for you guys. It's coming up on 2 years, but still young and still coming together. This is one of the ways the devil will use to destroy this work. This thing that God is doing, that God wants to do, this work he's begun, that he's going to continue to grow and he's going to bring to completion someday, the devil wants to destroy it any way he can. And one of the best ways he'll use, one of his best tactics, most powerful tactics, is he will get you to hate each other. He will get you to gossip and slander and tear each other apart. Whether it's amongst each other or you're talking about your pastor or some other leader, if he can get you doing that, get you focused on thinking about all those little slights, all those little wrongs, they didn't say hi to me this morning, pastor didn't come shake my hand this morning, so-and-so across the sanctuary, I can't stand being near him, so I'm sitting over here, and then you just kind of focus on that, and you mull over that, and it becomes bigger and bigger, that is going to destroy this work that God is doing here. There should be no place for fear other than a holy, reverent fear of God, which is all based on love. There is no place for fear in this place in your life. And I know it's all around us. Common sense, the world tells us we have plenty of reason to be fearful. But God has said he's not given you a spirit of fear. So then let's not be the ones who are working against that. I was thinking about this as I'm just praying about this, and there was a thought here that I had. You know, we probably do this more than we realize, where we, just take politics for example. We probably say some things we probably shouldn't be saying. There's probably some heart issues that we're dealing with that we feel justified in, but there might be some bitterness or hate at the root of it. And we need to examine these things. But another aspect of this I was thinking about is the millennials and Gen Y, Gen Z, right? I have heard so many bad things said about millennials in the last 10 years, tearing them up. Down, tearing them apart. And you know what? I've been guilty about complaining about some things about the millennials and Gen Z myself. But let me ask you something. When you're tearing them down and you're griping about them and how they this or that, who raised them? Did they ask for the participation trophy? Or was that something mom and dad came up with? I mean, we want to tear them down. We want to rip them for being, you know, babies or whatever. But who raised them? And let me just say, they didn't ask for it. They are responsible for their own choices, their own actions, of course, just like we all are. But they didn't ask for it. It was really what was given to them and fed to them. It's how they were raised. So we need to examine ourselves. But now this is what they have. This is what the world has given them. This is the world they live in. And instead of tearing them down, why don't we give them Jesus? Instead of telling them how foolish they are and telling them how stupid it is this, that, or the other thing, or how they need to grow up and quit being such babies, why don't we give them the love of Christ? How is us speaking that way to them, again, the tongue, an issue of the heart, how is us tearing them down ever going to give them the love of Jesus? Now, I'm guilty of this, just like anybody else. The Lord has convicted me. But whether it's a generational issue that we're dealing with, or it's somebody that we just don't like, or it's somebody who was a friend that we had some kind of a split and now we hate each other, or just running our mouths too much. Are we really governed by the Holy Spirit? Are we really speaking from the heart of God, the mind of God, or are we just caught up in the flesh, our own thoughts, our own ideas? We're just griping and moaning and complaining. I mean, come on, even the joking that we do. You know, sometimes, just be quiet. You don't have to always speak. You don't always have to have something to say. Being led of the Spirit, there's a prompting that comes from within that He will say this, say it this way. But we get nervous, and I got to say something, and blah. It's just like word vomit. It just comes out. And all it does is bring destruction. All it does is hurt people. So, 1 Timothy 5:13, Paul talks about busybodies. Always in someone else's business. Always talking about others, criticizing, complaining, griping, cutting, biting, devouring. But in 1 Timothy 5:13, he uses this word busybodies. He's talking about the young widows being remarried, that they should remarry. He says, besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. If you examine this word busybodies, this particular usage, it's only used one other time. I believe it's in the book of Acts. I didn't put it in my notes here. But one of the meanings for this is magic arts. It can be busy about trifles and neglectful of important matters, especially busy about other folks' affairs, a busybody, or of things impertinent and superfluous. But magic arts is one of the uses for it. And that other scripture, it is actually used about like magic books that were being thrown away. Consider, just consider this for a moment. Think about this. Your words, your gossip, your slander, your backbiting, your being the busybody, letting your mouth run when it shouldn't, that's the devil's playground. He's going to use your words to hurt people. I said it earlier that the devil, when we put people into that position of fear with our words, we are taking the side of the devil. We are being used by him. He will use us to bring a division within the church, to hurt people. It's satanic. It's demonic. He's using it for his purposes. James 1:19 and 20 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If we could do that one thing, be slow to speak, we would solve so many problems. Slow to speak and swift to hear. Swift to hear who? Of course, we want to hear each other out and listen to each other, but swift to hear from God, from the Holy Spirit that dwells within. If you're not so quick to speak all the time, you'll be more apt to hear. You ever have a conversation with somebody where they just won't be quiet? You're really not having a conversation? They're just speaking, they're just dumping words on you? It's pointless. That's not a conversation. How can we hear the voice of God if we're always just ready to leap into action with our mouth? If we're always just ready to speak up and speak the first thing that comes to our mind? How often is the first thing that comes to our mind not the mind of God, but our own mind? Be slow to speak and swift to hear. Hear the voice of God. I'm pretty sure that if you'll just consciously say, no, I'm not going to speak. I'm going to pray about this a moment. I'm going to listen for the voice of God. Your first thought is oftentimes not going to be the best thought. It's not going to be the mind of God. There's an old saying. It's been attributed to a few different people, so I won't give credit to anybody in particular, but it is better to remain silent and to be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. My boys growing up, they'll tell you if you ask them, I would say, just be quiet. Stop talking. If you just not be so quick to speak, you'd solve half your problems immediately. Just be quiet. Listen. That first thought you have, probably best to put that one aside. I mean, let's be honest. The flesh is ready to rise up and speak real quick. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. In Ecclesiastes 10:20, do not curse the king even in your thought. Do not curse the rich even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. There's a lot of wisdom in just keeping your mouth shut. You don't know who's going to hear it. You know, we have to deal with this sin nature, the flesh. We have to deal with, you know, God, I thank God he's given us a new heart, but I still contend with those fleshly thoughts, those desires, those feelings. And the fool gives voice to those things quickly. But it's the wise one who will not be quick to open their mouth, who will ponder on the thing, who will take it to the Lord in prayer, who will lay it down at the feet of Jesus. This person has offended me. They've cut me deeply, Lord, but I don't want to act out of emotion. I don't want to act in the flesh, Lord. God, I want to love them. I want to forgive them. I don't want to go around tearing them down. Even if you're 100% justified, they wronged you. Jesus died on the cross for you. He went to Calvary. He took on all of your sin, my sin. There was no wrong in him, and yet he gave it all. And we can't handle it that somebody called us a bad name. I understand that it hurts. I understand that it's frustrating. But we have to forgive. We have to have a heart of forgiveness. We can't turn around and cut them down. You know, we're all going to give an account for how we use our tongue someday. If you look at Matthew chapter 12, in verse 33, it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, and a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Every idle word, we're going to give an account for this. We should not be so quick to speak. It's not just the hurtful words. It's the foolishness. It's the complaints about the politicians and how we speak about them. It's our irritation with Gen Z or whatever we're calling it. Gen Alpha, I think, is the newest one now. Guess what? The world's a dark place that's on its way to hell, and people need to be saved. And us tearing them down and disparaging them is not going to help anything. You know what that makes us out to be? Mean, judgmental, unloving, uncaring people. We have to speak the truth. We have to speak the truth. We have to call sin, sin. But if you're not going to do anything more than that and then tear them down, well, you're not giving them the love of Jesus. And if that finds its way into the house here, you're going to tear each other apart. This work, this good work that God's doing, that he's begun, it will come to a ruin real quick. But God can protect you from that. If you will be a people who loves God, yet you just look to him, even if you don't know, even when you've been hurt and you're broken, you look to him, he'll heal you. He'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. He's going to speak through you. He's going to bridle that tongue. He's going to bridle. Scripture says that if you can bridle the tongue, you can bridle the entire body. That's an amazing thing. Think of that. Let the Lord deal with this little member, and he's got the rest of you. Yes. I mean, we've been born again. We've been given a new heart. But we still live this life. We still contend with the flesh. You let him bridle this tongue, man, you are off to an excellent start. And now, I understand that not everybody's a talker. I'm not naturally a talker. But man, I can tell you I've had some bitterness and some hatred in my heart that the Lord has had to deal with. And when I did talk, I popped. And it was bad. It was ugly. It's all about the heart. It's always been about the heart. You let the Lord deal with the source of the problem. He's going to bridle that tongue. The actions that come from you, the words that come out of your mouth, the fruit that is produced in your life will be good fruit. So I called this tongues of fire because we see two different fires at work here. A fire that's set on fire by hell, or we see the tongues of fire that come and rest, that came and rested on the disciples as they were in the upper room waiting for the Spirit to come. Those tongues of fire, it represents the Holy Spirit. If you've been born again, the Holy Spirit dwells within you already. And you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, where you're going to be given the power to be a testimony of Christ in this world in a way that you never could before, that you never did before. Fire, it consumes. It can be good or it can be bad. There's a consuming fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It purifies. It purges. It gets rid of the evil. It gets rid of the bad. And it brings something pure out. Or there can be a destroying fire, that fire of hell. That if the Holy Spirit doesn't affect, that's all you're left with. And it's going to come out and it's going to destroy you and it's going to destroy your brothers, your sisters. Holy Spirit fire purges and purifies. Hellfire destroys, damaging you and those around you. So I want to, as I close this, bring this to a close here this morning. I know this is probably a little shorter than usual, but there's a few things I want to open up the altars here. I want to ask if you've been hurt this morning. You're one that has been damaged by this. People have gossiped up about you, slandered you. They've said things to you or about you behind your back. The Lord can heal that. He can heal that in you. And you don't have to then turn around and do that same thing. You don't have to be that hurt one who goes around hurting other people. I invite you to just come and seek the Lord. The worship team wants to come up and play a little something here. I want you to feel encouraged that the Lord will bring healing to you. If you're somebody who you just feel conviction of the Holy Spirit that my mouth, I get myself in trouble so much with my mouth, I speak too much, I'm too quick to speak, I hurt people, I cut them down, I get so angry, whatever it might be, the Lord can set you free from that. The love of God can so permeate you that it becomes more the love of God coming out of you than it is the flesh. And if you're somebody who has been seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to come and seek the Lord. Let us pray with you this morning. Don't give up. I know that there are some who for years they've been seeking to be filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit. My pastor has oftentimes said, when you're born again, the Spirit, he comes to live in you, but the baptism helps get him out of you so that there's a flow here. The power comes out. This is so much more than speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. It's the power of God that is going to flow out of you. To have a word of knowledge, to have discernment, to be able to walk up to somebody in Holy Spirit power and know the exact thing to say to them in that moment. Jesus told his disciples, that they were not to go out into the world until the Holy Spirit came. And now we know the Holy Spirit has been given. He's in this world. He's in his church. But we still ought to be waiting on God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've been born again. That's wonderful. Praise God. But there's something more the Lord's offering you. We call it baptism in the Holy Spirit. Scripture refers to it. It's being fully immersed in Him, baptized. There's something different that happens where the indwelling Spirit is there. I can't explain it all, the nuts and bolts of it. It's a miracle, okay? But there is a promise that if you want this and you ask for this, that God will give you this. So this morning, whether you're hurting and you need healing, or you feel conviction, or you just want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you want this gift that God has offered you, I invite you to come up here this morning. Let us pray with you. Just cry out to the Lord. He's a good Father. He said if your child comes to you and wants an egg, you're not going to give him a serpent. So how much more is our Heavenly Father love us and want to give good things to us for His glory? Amen.